Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Welcome, welcome. How's everybody doing today? Hey, I know we're all excited to be here today. Y'all excited?
Amen. Yes.
Those watching at home, you excited to be here with us? We're excited to have you, amen. Hey, your title today is this: Joy and Peace, Preparing for Jesus Christ. Joy and Peace, Preparing for Jesus Christ. The main scripture today is going to come from the book of Luke, chapters 3, verse 7 through 18. Luke 3, 7 through 18, the NIV version says it this way. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping in repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of all these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors come to be baptized." "Teacher," they ask, "what shall we do?" Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." These people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But we will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, I again ask you to get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, for the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything you do. In your name I pray. Amen. Alright, so we're going to get to that one here in a minute. Alright. But your first scripture is coming from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. NIV version says this. Philippians 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Ooh. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited about today. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, during this Advent season, we open up our hearts to your word today. Fill us with the joy and the peace that only you can give us. And help us each to live a life that reflects your light in the world, in the waiting world. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, guess what? It's the third week of Advent, isn't it? This is often called, I can just see if I can get to pronounce this right, Gaudete Sunday. It's a time to rejoice, a time for us to draw closer into celebrating Christ's birth. In Philippians 4:4-7, Apostle Paul calls us to rejoice always and embrace God's peace, which surpasses all understanding. Despite being written from a prison cell, Paul's words radiate hope. They radiate joy and confidence in God's promises, don't they? It reminds us all of the heart of Advent, God's presence and the peace in all circumstances. We can rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4. Paul exhorts us, rejoice always. Notice that this joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Amen. But it is dependent on a relationship with Christ. The coming of Christ, both in the manger and in His future return, gives us reason. It should give us a reason to rejoice, shouldn't it? Ask yourself today, what robs my joy? Whatever robs your joy today, surrender those burdens to the Lord. True joy itself is found not in the absence of any problems for us, right? But in the true presence of God. We'll also see a spirit of gentleness. In Philippians 4 or 5, Paul encourages us to let our gentleness be evident to all. How many of y'all struggle being gentle sometime? I know I do, amen. This gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Reflecting God's grace and kindness. Just as Christ came in humility and gentleness, we're also called to embody His love and compassion to others during this season. Think of somebody today in your life who needs a kind gesture or a gentle word that you might give them. How can you reflect the light of Christ to them this week? We'll also see that we can cast our anxieties on God. Philippians 4:6, Paul writes this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." In a season that's often marked by busyness and stress with our Christmas time and celebration time, Paul reminds us to entrust our worries to God. Advent invites each one of us to slow down a little bit, to seek God in prayer, and to practice the gratitude that we have. This week, make a list. We all like writing lists, don't we? Make a list of your worries and bring them up to God in prayer. Then write down what you're thankful for as a reminder for God's faithfulness. We also see the peace of God, don't we? Philippians 4:7. The promise of God's peace is central to this passage. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is truly the Prince of Peace, isn't He? He offers us a peace that the world cannot have. They might want it, but unless they know Him and have a personal relationship with Him, guess what? They don't get that peace. Amen? Just us, just we do. This peace sustains us as we wait for His second coming and a time in heaven. Amen? Take time this week to meditate on Scripture or light a candle at home and symbolize Christ's peace. Let it be a moment of quiet reflection amidst the chaos of this holiday season. Advent truly is a season of waiting. Amen? But it's not a season of despair. Through Christ, we can rejoice always. We can embody gentleness. We can cast our anxieties on God. And we receive His peace. As we approach Christmas, let us carry these truths with us and reflect the light of Christ in our lives. Because we truly are preparing for His way. The second scripture, or back to the first scripture, back in Luke. It is truly the third Sunday of Advent. Amen. Again, Gaudete Sunday. A time to rejoice as we anticipate the coming of Christ. The literal collar for the day shifts to rose, symbolizing joy amidst the penitential season. Today's gospel reading, however, challenges each one of us with the fiery words of John the Baptist in Luke 3:7-18. How do we reconcile His urgent call to repentance with the joy of this season? Let's explore the passage a little bit for us and understand how repentance prepares our hearts for the joy of Christ's coming. We get a warning of that judgment, don't we? In Luke 3, 7 through 9, John's opening words to the crowd are striking. "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come?" That sharp rebuke is not an attack, is it? But it is a wake-up call. Amen? To the coming wrath. John reminds us that God's righteous judgment. Advent is not just about celebrating Christ's birth, but also about preparing for His return as judge. Are we spiritually complacent today? John's warning urges us to take stock in our lives. John also emphasizes to us that we have a true fruit of repentance. That true repentance is the evidence by transformation in our lives. We'll bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Repentance isn't mere words, is it? It's a change of heart and a change of action. What fruit are we bearing in our daily lives? Are we reflecting the character of Christ? John also confronts those who rely on their heritage as the children of Abraham. Faith is not about lineage, is it? But it is truly about a personal relationship with our God. Are we relying on outward matters of faith, markers of faith? Are we allowing on like church attendance or traditions without true inward transformation on our hearts? The crowd's response was significant. What then shall we do? And John's answer to him is practical and specific. We share the resources. Verse 11 says, "Whoever has two tunics is to share them with them that has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise." Advent truly is a time for generosity, isn't it? How can we meet the needs of others in tangible ways as we celebrate this week coming up season? We also see the integrity at work. John addresses tax collectors and soldiers, instructing them to act justly and with integrity. Collect no more than you're authorized. Do not extort money, and be content with your wages. Are we living with integrity in our work? Are we living with integrity in our relationships? Amen. The passage also gives a call for all. John's message isn't just limited to religious leaders or the elite, is it? It's for everybody. It's for every one of us. Repentance truly is universal. How are we answering this call in our own context? We also see the promise of the Messiah. People wonder if John is the Messiah. And he truly, quickly, right? He didn't get that, you know, a big head and a puffed chest and, "Yeah, that's me. I am the Messiah." No. They wonder. He quickly redirects their focus to Jesus Christ, don't he? And the power of Christ. He says in verse 16, "He who is mightier than I is coming." John humbly acknowledges his role as a forerunner. I ask you, do we point others to Christ in our words and our actions today? And we also see the baptism by fire and the Spirit. John contrasts the baptism with water to Jesus' baptism with Holy Spirit and fire. The Spirit transforms and empowers us believers, don't it? While the fire purifies us and judges us, have we experienced that transformative power of the Spirit in our lives today? Because we can truly live in the joy of the gospel if we have. Despite this sobering message, Luke notes that John preached good news to all people. Repentance leads to joy because it prepares us to receive Christ fully. This Advent, how are we embracing the good news of salvation? John's message is both challenging and hopeful. On this third Sunday of Advent, we're reminded that joy and repentance go hand in hand. By turning away from sin and bearing fruits of repentance, we prepare the way for Christ in our hearts and in our lives. As we light the pink candles, symbolizing joy, let us rejoice that the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit is coming to transform and coming to renew each one of us. It truly is a call to joy today. And because it is a Sunday of joy, why do we see here such stern words in the passage today? Because true joy is not found in the complacency or the superficial celebration, but in aligning our hearts and our lives with God's will. Let's reflect on John's message and discover the joy that comes from living a life transformed by repentance and bearing fruit and good fruit. We again see that call to repentance. He addresses that in the "you brood of vipers, you're warned to flee from the wrath to come." That truly is a wake-up call. It's a reminder of true repentance. Again, not about our outward appearance or avoiding judgment. Amen. But it is truly a radical turning of our hearts toward God. John warns against our heritage, or relying on our heritage and tradition for salvation. God desires a relationship with us. Not just an attendance in church, amen, but a true heart relationship that transforms every part of our lives. The axe, John says, is already at the root of the trees. This is a call to urgency. It's a time for us for repentance now. Advent is a season of preparation. And just as we prepare our homes for Christmas, we must prepare our hearts for Christ's return. And by doing that, again, we will bear the fruits of repentance. Those who have extra share, the tax collectors take no more money than you're owed. And the soldiers avoid exhortation and be content with your wages. Repentance is not merely a feeling, is it? It's an action. It manifests in how we treat others, how we steward our resources, and how we conduct ourselves in our daily lives. During this Advent season, let us ask ourselves, what shall we do? What shall we do? How can we share? How can we act justly? And how can we live with integrity during this time? And truly live in the joy of the coming King. The people wondered again if John was the Messiah, but he pointed them directly to someone far greater. I baptize you in the water, but he who is mightier than I is coming. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. The coming of Christ brings both judgment and salvation for us. The image of a winnowing fork separating the wheat from the chaff reminds us that God's kingdom is one of holiness and righteousness. Yet this is not a cause for fear, amen, but for great joy. For those who bear the fruits of repentance, the coming of Christ is a fulfillment of God's promise of redemption. As we prepare to celebrate Christ's birth and await His return, we can find joy in the assurance that His judgment is rooted in love and judgment and justice. He comes to make all things new with us. Brothers and sisters, John's message today may be challenging, but it's also a message of hope and a message of joy. As we prepare our hearts for this Advent, let us heed the call to repentance, not as a burden, but as a path of freedom and joy. Let us bear fruits worthy of repentance, living lives marked by generosity, marked by justice, marked by integrity. As we come for the final song, let's close with prayer. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of your joy and peace in our lives. As we journey through this Advent season, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Fill our hearts with the hope and the confidence that come from knowing you are near. In Jesus' name. Lord, as we await your coming, help us to heed the call of John the Baptist. May our lives bear fruit and true repentance. May we experience the joy of your salvation. Prepare our hearts to receive you this Advent season. May the joy of the Lord fill our hearts as we await his coming. And may the light of this Advent season shine bright in each one of your lives as you prepare the way for the King of Kings. And God, we ask you just put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, again, I thank you for your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Somebody that we can share your mercy, your love, your grace, Lord. Most importantly, Lord, the joy of your salvation and our repentance, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.